All right.
Okay, welcome to the Arizona State Board of Homeopathic and Integrative Medicine Examiners. We're opening this meeting September 10th, 2024 at 9:04 a.m. Welcome, everyone. We're waiting still, I believe, on Hobeck. And when she comes, we will do the election. For now, we'll just call the roll. Director Jumency, if you would do a formal roll call for us.
Absolutely. Just pull up my list here.
That's not it. It should be coming on the printer.
Yeah, my internet's choosing now to be as slow as possible, so.
It's all right. I'm having printer issues.
All right. Roll call. Dr. Lim. Are you present?
We don't hear anything from Dr. Lim.
She's muted still, it looks like.
We'll wait until she can get that going.
Messenger.
We're still waiting for Dr. Lim to let us know if she's here or not. We cannot start until we
I muted, yes. I didn't see that, sorry. Okay. Thank you.
Can you call the roll again?
Absolutely. Board Member Lim.
I'm here.
Yes.
Board Member Less.
Here.
Board Member Klein.
Present.
Board Member Hobeck is absent, and President Fontes.
Present. All right. Do we have any conflicts of interest to declare?
I'm not aware of any.
Hearing none, we'll move on to item number four. Review and consideration and possible action regarding the board elections. I would like to wait. Board Member Hobeck may show up, and I would like to give her an opportunity to vote. So let's move on to item number five, which is not on this paper. Review, discussion, and possible action regarding the five-year rule review. Director Jerminski, can you go over this for us?
Absolutely, board members. You have in your materials our five-year rule review, which was submitted to the Governor's Regulatory Review Council on time. This is the review that you approved. They have sent back a couple of, minor questions and clarifying, comments. And so just informationally, I put it on here so that you know that it is being processed, that we're still working on it, that we're looking like will be on the agenda at the end of September or maybe beginning of October at GIRC, and that we're working through the process. So if you have any questions for me about that, I'm happy to go over that with you, but otherwise.
So this is the 23 pages that my printer's choking on right now?
Probably.
Yes. This just looks like our rules, right?
Yeah, so what the five-year rule review is an agency is required every 5 years to go through every one of its rules and then make a decision as to whether it's supported by statute, whether it's necessary, whether it needs to be changed, so on and so forth. So the board did that this year, and you approved it, I want to say, at your last meeting. And so we submitted this to GIRC, and they had a couple of small things. Let me see what I can pull up here.
This is where we were talking about the definitions and how one of our board members wanted to add IPT.
So we can do that, but that'll be part of a rule package that we'll have to put together.
So that's not review, that's new rules.
That's new rules, correct.
Okay. Understood. So this is just largely, are these things still relevant? And you went ahead and went over this and decided that it was relevant.
Yeah, correct. And they just had a couple of things of feedback. One was, for instance, in Section 12, we put no in the response about whether federal statutes apply. And they just want us to say whether it's because the federal statutes are not more stringent than the corresponding laws, or whether they don't apply to us at all. So it's just small things like that. Nothing that's substantial at all.
I think we can move on from that unless anybody has any further clarification questions. Hearing none, I'd like to move on to item number 6. Thank you. Got it. No, I need all these. Thank you. Number 6, review, discussion, and possible action regarding homeopathic practitioner type license. So I have met with stakeholders 4 or 5 times since our last meeting, and we've been developing through dialogue and hostility an FAQ. Some of the things were simple. Some of them require board input. Item number 6 here, it reflects the board input. The first one on here is the application. Director Jerminski, have you developed and did you, I see that, is this the application?
Yeah, that's kind of a, so this application was put together for content. It may end up looking slightly different in format, you know, when we put it out, but I just want to make sure the board reviews this and approves this content and the things that it's asking for here for your applicants for the homeopathic practitioner, that there isn't anything that you wanted to add or subtract from that.
Well, we have to kind of, I think that item B will add to that. And then is there a separate one for the homeopathic doctor again?
It would be the same. So your homeopathic physicians do have a separate application. The homeopathic practitioner application is the same, whether you hold a doctorate degree and want to be able to use the title of.
Oh, so there's just one
or not. Yeah.
Is there a place on here that indicates whether they are applying for the practitioner or the doctorate?
Yeah. So under number 7 on that application, do you have a doctoral degree and request to use the designation Doctor of Homeopathy, and then name of the school, degree, title, and attaching proof of completion of the doctoral program.
Awesome. Well, this looks pretty simple. Anybody, did everybody have a time to review this application? So if we approve this today, does this get inked or can we further amend it?
Yeah, I mean, the board can always amend its forms and applications, right? So.
All right, I think we just put it through and then get feedback from the applicants on what needs to be changed. But it's a good start, unless Dr. Klein has...
So would this this would be the application for as well for doctors seeking the integrative homeopathic license as well?
No, that
we already have that one. That stands.
Okay, I was just making sure I understood. All right.
So this is for the new designation of homeopathic practitioner and homeopathic doctor. There has not been a precedent, so there's no forms developed. This is the first draft, really. And then what we'll do is there's an event coming up, and I know if we approve it today, it won't get transferred electronically in time, and then we don't need that crunch anyways. I would rather just release it as a paper, get feedback from the community, do any changes, and then submit it for the website. And then we can even disperse this electronically if we need to.
Yeah. And President Fontes, board members, we can absolutely put this on our website in a PDF format. The question that I have for you is, I just want to make sure that we're collecting all the information that you need to make an informed decision on a person's application. And I think that I have in here all of the requirements under the new statute, but I need to know that you feel you're, you know, getting the information you need to make a wise decision.
So it's a general ask. The specifics that the board would have to review would be pertaining to accreditation and such. I don't see that listed on here. I'm guessing the intent was to vet each application individually.
Well, would you like me to just kind of step through the questions? Would that be helpful? Or
yeah, let's do that. I don't want to take you.
Okay.
Unless people feel like you had adequate time to digest this, I'm happy to move on. Okay. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. So the first item, obviously, is contact information, email, home and clinic address, so on and so forth. Item two is a statement stating that we need to have all the documentation to complete the application. Now, they have to contact organizations or individual to have verification sent directly to the board. So transcripts, you know, things like that from their education. If they took additional homeopathic training through a different format, we need verification of that training. If they, you know, got a education in naturopathy or acupuncture or chiropractic, we need verification of that training, so on and so forth. Item also verification of other state licenses and so on. Item three, examination. They're indicating whether they want to take the state level exam, whether they have taken and passed a CHC examination, because those are the two options at this point. Item four is that they're indicating that they have enclosed the application fee, which the board needs to set, and that they understand that it's non-refundable and how to make that out to the board. Item five, they're indicating, this is the beginning of the education portion, indicating how they've, what route they've taken to receiving qualified education for a licensure. Five is, they have to do one of the following, either a program that would qualify the applicant to become licensed or certified. And so those chapters are acupuncture, naturopathy, chiropractic, or physical therapy at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can take training and testing by the U.S. Armed Forces to the national standards for emergency medical care technicians. It looks like board member Hobick has joined us at 9:17.
Welcome.
Let me just
board member Hobick, can you confirm that you're here with us and present?
Good morning. I'm here. I can hear you. I'm present, and I'm sorry for being late.
So right, we're waiting. We held the important stuff for you.
Oh, good.
All right, we're just stepping through the new application here. We're in question number five. Or they have to successfully complete one of the following, one of those two items, or a program approved or accredited by the Accreditation Commission for Homeopathic Education in North America, or another board-approved body that accredits this course of study. The board hasn't approved any other bodies at this point, but theoretically could approve other accrediting bodies. And so they're indicating which one of those three that they've completed, and then indicating the qualifying program, what degree of certification they received, and an address for that program. They're also told that they have to attach proof of completing the program. And then also they must hold or pass a CHC designation, or just pass the exam to have a CHC designation, or complete a program approved by the board designed to prepare the person to practice homeopathic medicine. So they have to do one of both of those things.
All right. It looks like you did a really thorough job and all my questions were answered in that review. Does anybody have any further questions or discussion about the application for a license as a homeopathic practitioner?
I don't see, are we requiring any letters of recommendation?
That's a good question. You know, the physician's license does require that. Homeopathic practitioner's license doesn't necessarily. That's up to the board what you want to do.
Would you like to see that, Board Member Klein?
I think it might be worth discussing if we want to have that requirement or not.
Do we need to take a roll call on this, or can we just have an open discussion and decide?
Yeah, President Fontes, board members, I think you can just have an open discussion, you know, at this point.
Any other board members out there that would like to see a letter of recommendation, please let us know at this point.
I think there should be two, one from the past medical supervisor and one a character reference, preferably from somebody with a license, but a character reference of some sort.
Is that equivalent to, I think, make an equivalent statement from the previous license application.
Yeah, so President Fontes, board members, it's conceivable that an individual may apply for this license. This is different from the physician's license, right? Because our homeopathic physicians, they've done internships, they have a license as an MD or DO, and they've been practicing already, right? These individuals conceivably completed their training from an accredited school and then took the exam, and this is the first time that they're practicing medicine of any type. And so they may not have
like a secondary license.
Right. They may not have, prior medical supervision or anything like that. And so, for other license types, acupuncturists, respiratory therapists, other licenses like that, which are, not physicians, don't traditionally require character, letter as part of the application. But, if the board, feels that would be helpful to them, we can definitely do that.
Well, since they don't have that, I would be okay with one letter of recommendation then. Would that satisfy you, Board Member Klein?
I think one would. Yeah, I think that would be appropriate.
Well, the other issue is, I work for the state, which means I have to have a clean fingerprint card updated every 5 years. And if I recall, I had to have a clean police report, which is easy to do. Just go down there and they give it to you if you've never had any police issues. But I think it's kind of easy for somebody to slip by and suddenly be under our authority, sort of, without having been vetted, whatever that means, the individuals are bored.
Mm-hmm. I understand your concern. Director Jaminski, do we require fingerprints and clearance on this?
At this point, this board does not require fingerprinting for either of its license types. The homeopathic physicians or the practitioners are not required to get licensed.
Yeah, I think it'd be inappropriate to require it for one or another. If you'd like to see that, board member Les, we can agendize this for next year if it's something you'd like to see.
Well, we just have a lot of people coming in from a lot of countries. People with medical experience are coming here, and they may think we're the easiest route to get a license.
My question was, is this important to you, and would you like to see this agendized for next year?
Well, I think it should be on the agenda.
Okay, can we put that on January, Director Jaminski?
All it takes is one burn, and it's not that difficult to get these things.
Understood. Let's agendize this for January.
Okay, and so President Fontes, board members, I can do that. That would require a statute change for both our physicians and our practitioners.
Then we would require the existing licensees, MDHs, to get fingerprinted or lose their license.
That's likely correct.
It's very easy to do. So it's not difficult.
Let's go ahead and agendize this and have that discussion in January.
This is Jean Galvin, if I may. If you wait until January to talk about a statute change, that may be too late, given the legislative session will start in January and bills begin dropping immediately. A lot of the work to propose legislation will be done, you know, starting now, October, November. And so you may wish to consider having a discussion in a public meeting about that prior to January, or you may miss your opportunity.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to defer this over to Dr. Fontes and David Kraminsky. It's obviously the acupuncture board you work with and the medical board you work with. I don't know if I had the fingerprint for the medical board or that, but I sure did if I worked for the state.
All right. How about, I have a proposal. Let's have a committee consisting of Director Jeminski and myself have discussions and then report back to the board on our findings, because we don't, my concern is to have undue processes for MDHs who've held this licenses for 25 years. Mm-hmm. So with your permission, I would like to form a committee to explore the options.
If you're just going to work with the executive director, you don't need to form a committee, because then that's a committee of one. Okay. And that's not advisable. But if there's just a consensus among all board members that you work with the executive director to move forward on this. And of course, anything, you know, requiring final action or approval will be brought back to the board.
All right. So I would like to have a discussion on non-board meeting days. With this on Director Jeminski. Would that satisfy you, Board Member Klein and Board Member Less?
Yeah, I mean, I just, yes.
Okay, yeah, I just don't want to make two undue requirements on existing licensees, but we'll report back to you what our findings at the next board meeting.
Absolutely. Okay, sounds good. Thank
you. Yeah, and board members, our next regularly scheduled board meeting is November the 12th, but we do have a placeholder for October 8th, depending on, your Assistant Attorney General is entirely correct that if you want to run a statutory change, really we need to make a decision, you know, in the next 30 days or so. So I would say that, President Fontes and I will do the research that you're requesting here, and then we might have to have a board meeting in the beginning of October in order to approve that.
Yeah, if it proves a time-sensitive item, we will definitely strike up another meeting.
Okay, thanks.
Moving on, let's talk about the fees that go on this application. We had preliminary discussions. Let me frame this for you. The fees are set pretty high for the MDH license, and that has gone up in the last decade because of our attrition rate. I anticipate in the coming years that we'll have more licensees and be able to lower the fees for the MDHs. At the start, though, the proposal is to have these roughly half of the fees for the MDHs. And I believe we had a figure in mind, Director Jeminski. What was the figure that we talked about?
Yeah, let me just pull up my notes here. I was doing that as you were talking here, but again, my computer is taking its time. 8-106.
As you guys can probably surmise, there's been a lot of behind-the-scenes work put into these documents.
Yeah, and so our current fees for our MDHs are, let's see here, an annual renewal of a license is $1,000. The issuance of an initial license is $250. The application for a license is $550. And so our, you know, I think our recommendation, looking at what, you know, other similar, you know, level of licensure, you know, is paying for licenses, would be to, you know, to say maybe a $300 renewal, maybe a,
I thought we said 250.
Okay, 250 renewal. I think that's right. A $250 renewal and a initial issuance of a license would be 150, and an application would be another 250.
So 150 and 250, the initial outlay is 400, and the yearly is additional 250, right? Is that where we're at?
I think so.
Yeah, that's what I remember. So I think this is reasonable, but I'm open, certainly open to discussion. These numbers came up in discussion, and we do value your input as board members. Does anybody have any reason to believe that these numbers are unrealistic? No, I didn't think so. Okay, and I would like to state that I am very sensitive to the fact that the MDH fees are high. So I do anticipate at the end of next year, looking at our licensee numbers, if we can ever get those, and adjusting the fees. So, I mean, the goal isn't to have a big bank account. The goal is to cover our operating fees and service the public. So with that said, let's go ahead and adopt the fees. 150 and 250 for the initial and 250 for the renewal. And then move on to item number C, the initials. In my discussions with the stakeholders, they're really excited about these licensees, and some of them aren't, but you know, that's always gonna happen with any new legislation. But one of the question is what do they get to call themselves? We have the doctor of homeopathy and the homeopathic practitioner. We don't have in our existing legislative documents designations or initials that they might use. So we have doctor of homeopathy and homeopathic practitioner. Board member Klein, why don't you chime in for us? What would you like to see?
I lean towards a homeopathic practitioner, because typically the term doctor refers to the amount of education.
Wait a minute, hold on. Let's reframe this. There's already legislation that includes doctor of homeopathy and homeopathic practitioner. Those are already set in stone. What we're asking about is the initials, like HP or DOH, or you know, I could go any way you want to go. It doesn't matter to me.
And President Fontes, I would lean away from DOH. We already have that for our osteopathic doctors, homeopath.
Okay, yeah. So that's the discussion that we need to have. DH, D parentheses H. I'm totally ambivalent.
Any input from the community on this? Just out of curiosity.
Board Member Hobick, you are our community representative. Do you have any input on this of what you might like to see?
I do not have any input. I need to pull up the document and take a look. I'm not well-versed enough in different terminology.
Board Member Less, how about you?
Well, I think most people do also have other initials like functional medicine or integrative medicine. Circulation. They have other initials. I mean, I think most people have a homeopathic license actually don't do homeopathy. They do integrative medicine.
Yeah,
so I'm all the way down the line. but most people can use other letters if they want, and they can just put it in parentheses or italics after their name, practitioner of integrative medicine, functional medicine. I don't think it's a big deal.
No, but we just have to have a consensus here. Board Member Lim, do you have any input on this?
Well, I'm not so sure what designation will be good because.
Well, the designations are already Doctor of Homeopathy and Homeopathic Practitioner. We're looking for letters with periods to represent those. I mean, the discussion.
So why don't you use the Homeopathic Practitioner, HP then? H.P or something like that. I don't know. Yeah. What do you think? I don't know whether we should invent any new thing. You know, I would just leave it alone.
Well, no, we absolutely need to give the community guidelines on what they use. The fact that there already is the Doctor of Homeopathy and the Homeopathic Practitioner's license is really not the discussion here, because those already exist in state statutes. That's what we're the discussion is, what the practitioner's initials that they are going to be used. And we could either, I mean, I think it's...
Why don't you do a licensed homeopath? They have to have a license. Licensed homeopath. So we know you're licensed.
LHP?
Some people don't want to pay the licensing fee, so I don't know. License. So LIC is LIC's license. HO. Licensed homeopath. Or HP, you know which way.
I think simpler is, I'm leaning towards simpler, Mike. Is there a designated HP already?
Do we need to have separate designations for each separate letter?
One for the doctorate and one for the Doctor of Homeopathy and one for the practitioner, homeopathic practitioner.
Are there any designations already taken, such as DH and HP? Like, made it as simple as possible.
I like simple. DH and AG.
Existing letters.
Like D dot H or D D or just DH.
I believe there's a DHP, a Doctor of Healthcare Practitioner. I will double check that.
It's the one. Let's look at what we have for the existing. It's MD parentheses H, right?
Mm-hmm. Or DO parentheses H.
Why don't we just go D parentheses H? Because they're a doctor, they're just not a medical doctor.
Mm-hmm. I think you should put down license, L-I-C-H. Because you want them to be licensed homeopath.
Well, yeah. We could do that for the, if you want, we could do
LHP for the
LHP, licensed homeopathic practitioner. I like that.
Yeah.
You could do the same with LDH as well. Licensed Doctor of Homeopathy.
I think the licensure designation would be more appropriate for the non-doctor. That would be my preference. Like, I would think LHP and DH. But you know, I'm not married to those. Those would be my preference. And then would you put I just like to see a consistency across this with the rest of the board, because the MDH has the H in those parenthetical marks. I could see DH, D parentheses H, and board member Lim, for the licensed homeopathic practitioner, would you like to see the H in parentheses, or you just want dots?
You can have LP parentheses H. You see, and it will be licensed practitioner parentheses H.
Oh, like
or you can have LHP. I was saying LHB or LP with the parenthesis H.
Can we have some more input from our board members on this? I'd like to kind of get everybody on board with one or the other. I just like, I'm fine with the D parentheses H and the, so it would be licensed practitioner of homeopathy. Is that verbiage reflected in any of the documents that, is it referred to in that order, licensed practitioner of homeopathy?
I think I like the word licensed. There's too many people getting their doctorates and whatever off the internet. Licensed means something, especially if it's got a number after it. Actually, put the license number there. I like the idea of putting license. I'm not sure you need it for MDH or DOH, Doctor of Osteopathy, Homeopathy. But certainly if somebody doesn't have a medical degree, I don't like the word license.
No, I like the LP and then H or whatever. License practitioner, homeopathy.
I like L small IC. And then the L is interpreted differently. I like the LIC. And then they should put the number of the license after
it. Yeah, LIC is very good. This is very good. Yeah, LIC and then H.
Capital L. Yeah, usually capital L and small IC. I just think we're getting into a period where people are getting all kinds of degrees without having licenses. And they're practicing. And nobody is giving a hoot. I ran into this in Sedona all the time. People with licensed trauma therapy, all kinds of stuff, but they really weren't licensed.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. If I may, this designation or the initials, the new statute requires that this be done by rule.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have to adopt rules for this. And so once we come up with these suggestions and finalize it, there will be an opportunity for public comment. You may get some ideas at that time, or you could put out a notice to the public that you will be undertaking the rulemaking process for this purpose and get some input that way.
I got it. That's wonderful. Here's what I propose then, with in light of this information. So I have regular meetings with stakeholders. I would like to take all of this, what we talked about, and get it let them know that we love the idea of having license, and then get some feedback from the stakeholders, since we really can't make any substantive decisions today because we have to do rules for this. And then I would like to return at our next meeting with feedback from the community. Would that be acceptable?
Sure.
All right. But I do appreciate the license comment. That's something I wouldn't have thought of, but I will do that.
You must have the license. Yeah, that is really important.
Yeah, okay. I will take on that role happily. Let's move on to the next one, CE requirements. Director Jaminski, what are our requirements for the MDHs and the DOHs?
Yeah, absolutely. Our current education requirements are that 20 hours of board-approved continuing education every year for our homeopathic physicians. However, the CE requirements here and the bodies that they contain CE from are, you know, kind of physician specific. And just as with the fees, not the fees, the initialization here, I would say, you know, this probably is also going to require a rule change of some type, but probably all of this is really, is that, you know, we need to come up with some continuing education guidelines that are specific to our homeopathic practitioners. You know, do they need 20 CE every year? Would 10 be, you know, sufficient because they're not, you know, at a physician level licensure? You know, do they need you know, is there a body that exists nationally that provides continuing education that we could approve so that we don't have to look at every single continuing education program out there?
We'd have to write the guidelines, and we do have, you know, resources to draw from both the homeopathic board and the acupuncture board. So let's open the discussion. The number 10 was proffered by Director Jerminski. Any other input on the amount of hours? All right, hearing none, let's start with 10, and then as we get, as we're developing our documentation to create rules, there'll be ample time for to see these numbers again.
Let me ask a question on this 10. I think medical license renews every 2 years, and you have to have 30. And then it depends, 30 CMEs and what? I mean, right. You require CMEs in functional medicine or integrative medicine?
I mean,
it would be 30 CMEs, I think is what it is, every 2 years. And it would just have to be category one.
Right.
They have to say category one or two, and specifying whether it's on insulin potentiation therapy, chelation, or diabetes, I think gets tricky.
Well, we'd limit it to homeopathic education, and that breaks down to 15 a year. The proposal was 10. It seems in line to me, but because the only requirement would be homeopathic, it wouldn't, since the licensure doesn't include chelation or IPT, it would just be homeopathic.
Well, I haven't been to a homeopathic meeting in a long, long time, and I don't know if any of them are actually offering.
We're yeah. talking about the new licensees, not the MDHs. The new licensees, we're setting precedent. There is no.
Defer to you.
Let's start with 10, and go ahead.
Is there, and I think you mentioned this may already need research, but is there any continued education entity that already is approving?
So like, yes, the CCH, I believe, requires 15. But we don't want to, there's an interesting development. I met with the CCH as we were developing this, and the day, we had the language in there that we're going to accept the CCH or its equivalent. And I met with the CCH, and they wanted to tell us, you know, how we were supposed to do this. And I said, wait a minute. We're an independent board. We don't really answer to you, because if you guys go away tomorrow, the board will really have to redo this. And then somehow the next day there was a coup at that CCH. They got rid of their director, and the organization is being threatened out of existence. They want to use the errors, whatever we come up with, as the standard for the nation. So somehow we've been put in a position of leadership for the nation. So whatever we decide is really going to set the state nationally from here. So if you, the short answer is, I believe, 15. If you'd like to bump that initial offer up from 10 to 15, I'm completely happy with that too, because it actually does have some precedence.
I think 10 or 15 sound reasonable to me.
All right, Director Jerminski, can you start up when you're drawing up your initial documents with the verbiage 10 to 15, and once we get to a vote, maybe we'll have some more information on this.
Absolutely, President Montes, board members, I can do that. And there's, you know, the board can approve more than one, you know, pathway to continue education, right? And right. So, you know, you can approve, like the board can independently approve continuing education courses. You could approve a state society, so any CE that they put on is automatically approved by the board. You know, you could approve if they take continuing education for their other state licenses, you could approve that, you know, things like that. And so the board has options. So,
Director Jerminski, if you could take the language from both the MDH and the LACs and then put something together for the review for the board next session. If you could agendize that, that would be great. Mm-hmm. All right. Great discussion today. Number 7, review, discussion, and possible action regarding licensing examination. Okay. So I've already talked a little bit about number E, the CHC equivalent examination. So let me flesh out this discussion. So the discussion, the change at the CHC was that initially the CHC credentials were dependent on graduating from an accredited school. Now that's in line with our verbiage at the board here. What they did is they took away the need to be accredited. And so what happened is within the community of the schools that are accredited already, who take significant time and expense to get accredited, are saying, whoa. Now anybody can go ahead and take this exam without being vetted, the schools being vetted. We lost faith in that. They're saying, hey, but there's this new law in Arizona that says that you have to graduate from an accredited school. Let's have all the movement is that they're going to send their graduates to Arizona to pass the Arizona State Board, no matter where you live, and use that as the gold standard. Now, from there, the proposal is to create local grassroots organization to essentially copy what we've did and create those same requirements in per state. Will that happen? We don't know. And there's a big buzz in the homeopathic community that does support our legislation and accreditation requirements. That's the CHC equivalent exam. So there's among those accredited schools, they are going to form a new coalition and create an exam. I'm in contact with them and I'm letting them know that it's not okay for one school to use their exam. And if they're going to do this, this should be a community effort. Now, what they would do is they would present that to the board, and then we would vet that exam, and we would decide if that is something that we wanted to adopt or create our own. I have taken the CHC exam. Has anybody else here taken the CHC exam? Dr. Lim?
No, I never took it.
So I am very familiar with the exam and the exam writers.
Yeah,
I did help create the current MDH exam. So I believe I'm qualified to review that, and perhaps we could either designate me and Director Jaminski, or if you'd rather, we could have a committee to review exams. But
I can help in reviewing.
Perfect. Why don't we have a committee? I propose then a committee of Director Jaminski, Board Member Lim, and myself to review community input.
Good.
All right. Now, do we need to have a vote on this, or can we just go ahead and move with that?
And President Fontes, just I'm not a board member, so I wouldn't technically be a member of the committee, but I'm certainly will be present and be happy to give any input that I can.
All right. Well, all right. I will. I would like you to help us facilitate making the meeting happen. Okay. Wonderful. Let's move on. And any more discussion on the exam? We don't have one now, and I don't think that I would like to spend my rest of my year creating one.
Yeah, so there's President Fontes, board members, there's a couple of things going on here. There's three items under this licensing exam, because I have three questions that I kind of need answered for the board. Okay. One is that the homeopathic practitioner examination, you know, our legislation split up the exams. So there's one for our physicians and one for our practitioners. And so we need to create a state level exam, which is, I think, what Dr. Fontes, President Fontes, is talking about here. Also, if an individual, the legislation says that if an individual has passed the exam for the CHC, that they don't have to take our state level exam, which is fine. But it also says that if they pass an exam that's equivalent to the CHC, they don't have to take our state level exam. And so I don't know if there are, you know, examinations that are equivalent to the CHC exam out there in the United States or in other countries.
I can answer this.
Yeah, okay.
So the consensus in the community is they're forming an HPLEX with former writers of the CHC, of the NCLEX, and from the schools. And that coalition is going to apply for this. And they're not there yet, but that's the intention there.
Okay. So if that would be the case, then that would, you know, the board could approve that exam as a equivalent to the CHC exam to bypass the state level exam.
Yep. Okay. And that way what I told them is, as if you don't have your organization, you could present it to the board, and then it would be the same effective exam, and then you could use this as a national space for the national movement to increase standards in homeopathic education.
Okay. The other question I had, our rules currently state that if a person has allowed their license to expire, that they have to retake the state level licensing exam in order to become licensed again, right? And so that would require a rule change to remove that requirement, which I think we plan on doing anyway. That's been part of what the board's been discussing.
I would love to see that. I think that there's really, you know, I will say the board in years past hasn't been as efficient as it has with Mr. Graham and Director Derminski. And we may have had some lapses at the board that in our communication with our licensees that resulted in late fees. So I think that's an unnecessary bar to licensure. If you have passed the exam, if you demonstrated that you can pass the exam, if you take your CEs every year, just because you were late on your licensure shouldn't mean that you have to retest. So some of these people have had this license for 25, 30 years. This is unnecessary punishment, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, the rule says that they have to retake. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Dr. Les, did you have some?
No. Oh, yeah. I was thinking, yeah, we should just charge late fee. No need to give them stress and take the exam because they've been practicing.
Yeah, so
it will be better for us, yeah.
Let's go ahead and run that legislation at our earliest convenience then.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The you know, just informationally, it's going to take probably a year before we get rules approved and active.
That's okay.
Right? Change of rules. Now, in the meantime, I guess the question is, you know, it states that the individual has to retake the exam under R-438-107. R-438-107 just says that the examination consists of two parts, a timed written examination that includes questions addressing the treatment modalities of homeopathic physician, that they have to get 70% at least, and that they be interviewed by the board with their application. I guess the question is, you know, could there be a, you know, examination for new licensees and an examination for reapplicants, as it were, under this, under the umbrella of 38-107. So I don't know if that's a question for our Assistant Attorney General.
I would have to look into that based on what you just represented. I don't think that that would be possible, but I would have to look into that and would appreciate a meeting with you to get educated on the topic a little bit more.
Great.
Yeah, I think that it's a stopgap measure either way, and I would love to hear the answer to that, but I've been around here, this board, for a decade or two. The wheels turn slowly, but they do turn. So I think that, yes, I would love to have the answer to that question, but in the interim, let's move full steam ahead with removing that from the state statute.
Sounds good.
Okay. Anything else on that?
No.
Okay, let's move to number 8, review, discussion, and possible action regarding the executive director report.
And then
we will hit the elections. I haven't forgot about them.
All right. Yeah, President Fontes, board members, just informationally, we submitted our budget this year. It's basically flat from last year. We're, I'm going to pull it up here, but we are still spending, let's see here. I just want to make sure I'm giving you an accurate number for what we did this last year. And pull up my cash flow sheet. For homeopathy. Okay. Yeah, we are spending a little bit more than we're bringing in now this year. There was a kind of a precipitous decline in licensing renewals. I don't know if that's due to some sort of error with our database or something. So we're looking into that, and we're reaching out to individuals whose license have recently expired to see if they meant for that to happen or if there was some sort of issue with our system. So
I have a comment. I've never received email about renewing my license, and I think you should send it out at least 3 to 4 times before renewal.
Yeah, and so
let's say 2 months ahead, yeah, then the 1 month ahead, then 2 weeks ahead. You have to keep doing it. Other people does it, and I don't think we have a good system. I've never received anything, and I try to remember to renew my license.
Yeah, President Fontes, board members, the system is set up to send out a 90-day, a 30-day notice, your license has expired notice, and you have another 30 days to renew it, and then another notice that says, hey, your license has expired and you're no longer eligible to renew. And so that's set up in the system, but I'm not sure that's
no, happening. I never
We're
received
start
it. That's
why I was trying to get the licensees for that.
I've never received it. I don't know whether Dr. Klein received it or not, but I have never received it.
Board Member Klein, did you receive yours?
I'm trying to remember. Because Richard helped me explore this after one of the earlier meetings this week, and I think it did work.
Mr. Graham, are you here?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yep. Do you have any indication whether these emails are actually going out?
They should be. Well, I can do some looking in today and see if for some reason something's not working right. I can set up a meeting with the Thentia team. I'll look in and see why Lim is not getting her emails, but Klein is, because I'm pretty sure that they should be sent to everybody who's getting their license. The renewal is coming up.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Graham. There is, other factors besides things he said. We live in a world where people get hundreds of emails a day. We live in a world where our licensees, particularly the MDHs, are a little bit older and maybe not as technically proficient. It just seems like our licensing, it goes back to that our last discussion. We're effectively punishing our licensees for this new phenomenon called email. I don't know anything that we can effectively do except or look into this. And then, as Director Jerminski proposed, to take away the barriers to getting relicensed.
All right. So that's what I had for our budget. You know, if the numbers continue as they are, we're going to be in trouble in the next couple of years. And so hopefully with the influx of homeopathic practitioners and with kind of fixing the renewal notices for our physicians, that should stabilize out. We'll continue with an upward trend on our fund. So,
well, you might have guessed that I'm going to do this, but next I'm going to ask how many licensees we currently have.
Yeah, Richard, do you have a number for that?
Give me one moment, see if I can find where I had it.
All right. Is there any more on 8? Well, Mr. Graham, the 18-15 split board of office highlights BNC.
Yeah. So, board members, it's kind of more bad news in the realm of the budget, is that we have HB 2910 passed this last year. It's going into effect in a few days here and will last for, I think, 3 years, where we're currently a 90-10 agency. And what that means is that we keep 90% of all of the fees that we bring in, and we send 10% to the state general fund for them to use how they like. They are modifying that. So now we're only keeping 85% and they're keeping 15 for the next, 3 years or so. And there's not much that we can do about that. There's also...
when did that begin?
September, what's the general effective date? The 15th? Look that up.
Well, it's this year.
The 14th.
The 14th, yeah. So September 14 is when that will go into effect. So we're having to update our, online,
Does that still put us in the black, or does that push us to the red?
No, that will definitely hurt us in our finances. And so, we're not able to increase our fees at all, obviously, because they're already topped out, and so there's not really anything that we can do about it, except hopefully we'll get some more licensees from the
practitioner. Well, I mean, this is, this, if we didn't have this new license type, this would have been potentially devastating.
Yes.
Yes. So I am grateful to the community and the legislators for helping us pass this legislation, because, effectively this would take down the board. Okay. Anything else on number C?
The
board office highlights.
Yeah, there's not a lot of highlights to share. We're just kind of plugging along as normal. So, Richard and I are in the office on Mondays, and otherwise we're working from home still.
As a board official, I have had at least 10 meetings since with the community, and there's both support and outrage for our recent legislation. All right. Let's go now to the moment you've all been waiting for. The board election procedure. Did you send the election procedure? I can wing it.
I did. Would you like me to give an overview?
I'm sure I have it.
I can email it to you real quick if you want to have it in front of you.
I have all the stuff. It's just I don't see the procedure. Yeah, if you could eat that real quick. Mr. Graham, while he's eating that, do you have any news for us on our numbers?
On the most recent thing I have right here, I'm looking at just through our system, which isn't giving me the most accurate data lately, is Dave and I unfortunately have found out. But we have about 40. It just closed on me. Roughly about 50 that are listed as active, and about licensed homeopathic physicians. And I've been trying to find a more accurate number on that, because it doesn't seem like the Thentia system pulled over everything accurately as we had previously thought it had. And so that's one of the things that I've been working on, is finding a more accurate number on who is and isn't actually listed as active.
Oh my. So if they weren't, hold on, this has repercussions here.
Or
if they weren't listed as active, then they're not going to be sent out renewals. So there may be people who are slipping through the cracks here. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense,
Mr.? Yes. Yeah. So which is why I'm going through and seeing if, because some people, when they got moved over, I found they were listed as inactive, or not inactive, like they're given NA status, non-applicable status, and that screwed things up for a lot of people and caused a lot of problems. Status,
they're not going to be receiving renewal information, even if it was incorrect. Is that right?
Yeah, that is. President Fontes, board members, that's my concern as well. And so I'm going to be reaching out to all those individuals whose licenses have expired.
Given this light, is there some interim action that we could give as far as exemption and forgiveness while we're running this new legislation?
Yeah, I would just exempt them from any late fees.
Well, could we exempt them from, it's not late fees that's going to be harmful. It's taking the exam again. If Thentia didn't sit out the renewal, that's our responsibility. Yeah. Do we have the right then to punish them by making them take the exam again?
Yeah, if there's an error that's, you know, on our part and not on the part of the licensees, and I don't know that we're going to be holding them accountable for that. So, like I said, I'm going to be reaching out and communicating with our licensees who have recently expired to see what we can do to help them get their license.
All right. Can you keep me in the loop on that, on what can be done for
our licensees? Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. All right. Thank you, Mr. Graham. Let's move on to the election of officers. I don't know, it seems like we do this every month, but we have to elect a president and vice president. I'm going to ask for nominees for president, and then I will give these nominees a moment to express their views. So do we have any nominees for president and chair?
I'd like to nominate Dr. Fontes. He has a lot, you've done a lot to get things going that are in the process. I think you'd be the best person to continue with those processes.
Yeah, I second that, because we don't want to rock the boat right now. We are moving in the correct direction.
Do we have any other nominees? Yeah. Go ahead. No. Board Member Letts.
No, I agree that Dr. Fontes has moved things in the right direction.
It only took him 15 years.
And I don't have any interest in doing that. I got too many grandkids.
All right. Having no other nominees, last call for nominees. All right. I would like to say that it has been the greatest honor of my profession to lead this board and to champion the current legislation. I accept, and I think we still need to have a roll call vote. So Director Jerminski, if you could have a roll call vote for the
Monday to Friday, for the first 2 weeks, then I go to 3, 4, and 3.
Board Member Lim.
What is it?
Board Member Lim, if you.
Yes.
Okay. Director Jerminski.
Absolutely. Board Member Lim, how do you vote?
How do I vote? I vote for retention of the same president, you know, as the chair.
He's asking for an aye or a nay.
Oh, aye.
Thank you.
Board Member Les.
Aye.
Board Member Klein.
Aye.
Board Member Hobick.
Aye.
And Board Member Fontes.
Aye, and I accept. Okay. Congratulations to the incoming president, and good riddance to that old guy. All right. Now, Vice President.
What do I need to say? Hold on.
All right. We are now open to nominees for Vice President.
I'd like to nominate Board Member Lim.
I second that.
All right. Do we have any other nominees? Board Member Lim, do you accept the nomination for Vice President of the Homeopathic and Integrative Medicine Examiners Board?
Yes.
Wonderful. All right. Let's have a roll call vote, Director Jerminski.
Absolutely. Board Member Lim.
Yes.
Board Member Les.
Yes.
Board Member Klein.
Aye.
Board Member Hobick.
Aye.
And President Fontes.
Aye. Congratulations, Vice Chair Lim, on retaining your position at the board. Moving on, are there any public members here today that would like to address the board? I don't think there is, but I'm following. I have a sea of papers. Do we have anything that would need to be? Well, let's move on to number 7. Do we have any items that would be placed on future meeting agenda?
So the board had indicated they wanted to talk about fingerprinting on the next board meeting. So I have that on the list. Also, kind of all the items under the homeopathic practitioner we'll have to bring up again to have a discussion on.
Mm-hmm. And so our next, I don't see our next meeting on here. Do we have that?
Our next board meeting will be, a regular board meeting will be set for November the 12th. However, we'll probably need to meet on October the 8th in order to approve if we're going to be talking about fingerprinting for statutory change.
All right, we'll have that discussion. All right, any other items? There will be. I don't know if this is relevant to the board, but there is a community event coming up honoring the legislators that made this happen and some of the people that actually were involved in this. So
I'm going to announce and make sure everybody shows up to thank them. September 22nd.
Arena to do that, but if you're interested, I can send you those materials. I'll send them to Dr. Klein. Okay.
And President Fontes, board members, just one more thing. I know we talked about the application. The board said it was okay with it, but I don't know they had a vote to approve that application.
Well, let's have a vote. Director Jerminski, let's have an individual roll call vote to approve this application with the option of amending it as we go.
So I would need a motion and a second prior to a vote.
Can we have a motion from our board members?
I'm so moved.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Moved by Board Member Klein, second by Board Member Les. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Hearing none, Motion carries. Please record the vote, Director Jerminski. And we will get this out to the community ASAP.
I also would need to get a approval for the fees.
Okay. Can we have a approval for the fee set at $150, $250 and $250 for initial licensure, and then $250 for renewal?
I will move that.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Movement by Vice Chair Lim, second by Board Member Klein. Those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. Director Jerminski, if you will please report the vote. Would you like a motion on the CE requirements?
Well, I think at this point, the board hasn't decided what the CE requirements are going to be.
Okay, so go ahead and draft those 10 to 15, and then I will get...
Do we need to agendize the CE discussion for future meetings?
Mm-hmm.
And the initials.
Yeah, I'll put both those on the list for next meeting.
And that meeting is November 12th?
Yeah, probably, again, we'll probably need an October meeting, so it'll be October 8th at 9 o'clock.
9 a.m. All right. Excellent work today. Sorry we went over. I usually like to keep it within an hour if I can, but we had a lot on our plate today. Is there any other items you wish to discuss today? Hearing none, I call for adjournment. Thank you all for being present.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody. Yeah.